I would invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1 as we'll be looking this morning at another topic that is widely discussed in the book of Proverbs. I don't know if any of you have read any books or writings by Patrick McManus. Whenever I mention something secular, there's never a wholehearted endorsement, but he's a humorist that kind of resonates with my brand of humor. He very comical to read about his life experiences, his outdoors experiences. And on multiple occasions, he wrote about his childhood friend, his best friend, who he affectionately referred to as Crazy Eddie. And Crazy Eddie was one of these creative, inventive minds that was always coming up with something, and his ideas weren't always, you know, trustworthy. One of my favorite stories was when Crazy Eddie decided that they should become bush pilots. And so he was going to build an airplane. Now, Crazy Eddie had enough materials, like he had a motor from an old wash machine that he was sure would work, but thought maybe they would start with a glider instead, just to kind of get the hang of it. And so with a couple of apple crates for cockpits and some old siding from a house for wings, and he robbed some wheels off the little red wagon, they constructed this incredibly effective aeronautical, just a genius of a machine, and they were going to launch it off at Crazy Eddie's family barn, one of the old barns. It was high. And so they jumped in, and Patrick says he jumped in the rear of the seats. He said, "I don't think I knew anything about the fact that airplanes, the rear of an airplane is safer in case of an accident," but he said, "My years with Eddie had given me some useful intuition." So they launched off this barn. The last thing he remembered was cows running for cover and trying to climb trees and chickens and geese trying to escape. Fortunately, nobody was hurt badly when they hit the ground after a rapid descent. And they recovered quickly. The next thing Crazy Eddie wanted to do was build a submarine. You know, that was a story for another day. Did you have a Crazy Eddie in your life when you were growing up? I had a Crazy Eddie in my life. Good friend, but boy, lots of stuff. Lots of opportunities to get dead. And the impact that people, close friends, have on us cannot be overstated. And to me, it's really remarkable and significant that after talking about the fear of the Lord and about wisdom, the very first discussion that Solomon wants to have with his son is on choosing his friends. I think that's very, very significant. And so we're going to look at that this morning from a number of different proverbs. As I warned you in the beginning, just the nature of this study, we will have to go to a lot of places because there's a lot of different proverbs that speak of the same issues. But I want to begin in chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 8, to kind of set the tone for this morning. He says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason, like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall all find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse.' My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths." Now let's pray as we begin to discuss this. Our Father, I thank you that you've you have chosen to equip us in every area of life that is essential. And in this incredibly important discussion of who to associate with, I pray that you'd give us clarity, give us wisdom. And Lord, we would pray for everyone here and everyone watching that you would be bringing those people into our lives that would truly be a help in our journey through life, and most importantly, in our relationship with you. And I pray this now in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at two things in this morning. We're going to look at the profile of a poor companion as Solomon lays it out for us, and then we will look at the profile of a positive companion as we get to it. Unfortunately, there's a lot more information in Proverbs about the poor companion, the warnings, and so evidently there's something for us to learn. Now, even as I begin this, I want to be crystal clear. We were left here, we who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're left here on the earth to be salt and light. And so we can't just go off into a commune somewhere and just isolate ourselves from the world. But the people that we allow into the inner circle, the people that we allow to be close, need to be chosen with care, because they will have an influence on us. There will be things that they set the example for, things that they lead us into that are not helpful nor good. And so keep that in mind as we go through. Now, the first thing that I see in this chapter, in these verses that we just read, that he warns his son about unprincipled people. People who, their moral compass is skewed. They are just off on knowing right from wrong and following right instead of wrong. Now he says in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." And virtually every translation uses the word entice. It's not something that we think of all that often, but it must be the good word here. Basically, it means tempt, but it's stronger than that. There's this pull. And you know people that are always walking the line themselves, always pushing the envelope, and they're trying to pull you into relationships that are not healthy, away from your convictions, away from what God said is right and true. There's just those people that are going to work on you constantly and try to get you to compromise. Again, people who's just, their moral compass is just not quite there. And so he warns us about unprincipled people. He goes on in verses 12 and 13, or excuse me, 11 and 12. "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason, like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit.'" Nobody talks like that. Nobody's going to say that kind of thing, but some people are just lacking the milk of human kindness. They're lacking an empathy. They're lacking something in their character that makes them feel they're calloused and unprincipled. It was shocking to me to see some of the comments after the flooding down in Texas. Just shocking, the callousness of some. And you may have heard that this lady that was a pediatrician of all things, who posted that they got what they deserved because they voted for Trump. And here's all of these children. Now, she since retracted and apologized for that. But I'm saying, what is wrong with you? that you would even say such a thing. But some people are that way. There's just something in them. It's like a hole in their soul. And this is what Solomon's warning about. There are people here that he was warning his son against that really don't care about people. They don't care if they hurt people. And he warns his son, you need to stay away from those kind. They're not good for you. They're not helpful to you. And then he warns about people that are materialistic. He says here in verse 13 and 14, we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. And again, the admonition, my son, do not walk in the way with them. There are some people that all they see is dollar signs. That's everything to them. Everything is about gain. Everything's about what they can get. And if you're attentive, you will get the sense that they see the same thing when they look at you. What's in it for me? What can I get out of this? And this materialism just leaves us looking for the wrong things, developing the wrong things, pursuing the wrong things. I was reminded of a scene from A Christmas Carol, one of the versions, the movies made after that novel, where a young Ebenezer Scrooge was talking to his fiance, and she was bothered by what she was seeing happening in his life, and she asked him, "Would you have chosen me now, who can bring nothing into this money-wise? Would you, who only think of gain, would you still have chosen me?" And he just dropped his head and said, "Yeah, I didn't think so." There are people that just materialistic. All they see is dollar signs. All they see is gain. And it's going to be an empty, dead-end road. Watch out for those, Solomon says. Watch out for people who are dishonest. In chapter 2, and many times, but in chapter 2, he writes about this, starting with verse 12. Or 11, let me back up to 11. He says, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Couple of times he uses the word perverse here, that just that twisted. They walk in crooked ways. Truth is irrelevant. Honesty is negotiable to this person. This is a person who has no hesitation telling, they'll call them little white lies. But just deception and cheating in whatever way they can to try to get ahead. That dishonesty is a bad example. It doesn't shape up well for a good friend. He warns his son about those who are immoral. Now, if he was talking to his daughter, he would be saying the same thing about men. But in chapter 7... for instance, verses 4 and 5, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Multiple times, Solomon uses the phrase the forbidden woman. He wants his son to understand at this time, in his life, Solomon knew what he's talking about. He lost his bearings later too. But there are those that you just should not associate with. They are not good for you. He talks about the adulteress, the immoral person. And so those people that are always trying to pull you away, who are trying to tempt you or trying to flirt with you, or who are eager to share pornography with you, or anything like that. Just warn, stay away from immorality. There is right and there is wrong. And Solomon wants his son to understand you need to walk in the ways of God. He also warns against those who are reckless. Chapter 13, verse 20. Says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And if you'd go on over to chapter 14, verse 7 as well. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Now, when the Bible talks about a fool, it's not talking about someone who is mentally challenged. It's talking about someone, the best word I can come up with, that is reckless. The purest definition of a fool in the Bible is the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. Or some have translated it, the fool has said in their heart, no God, no. So we've talked about the atheist or the practical atheist. The one who lives without an awareness that God exists and that he's active and that he wants to be involved in our lives. That practical atheism, and the fool is saying, I don't care what God has said. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do it my way. And there's just a recklessness about their lives. Always living on the edge. Always going just a little bit faster. Always pushing the envelope. Now, it's not just about taking risk. If there was no risk-taking, we wouldn't have gotten anywhere in this world. But there is a recklessness, and you see it. You see it in people, and you've watched it. Perhaps you've seen it in your own life. But he warns that person that's a fool, that just will not acknowledge that God is active in their lives, the fool, the reckless person. Watch out for them. He warns against people of temper, people of anger. And this is often talked about here in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 22, I'd like to direct you to. Chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. He says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful, furious man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourselves in a snare. People who are just angry people, there's a warning. Now, I don't know of anybody that doesn't lose their temper sometimes. That's not what we're talking about. There are some people that it's just uncontrolled. It takes nothing to make them fly into a fury, and you look at them, and it's as if they're going to have a stroke right at the on the spot. It's just uncontrolled anger. He's warning against that. And I couldn't count the amounts of times I've seen young people get involved in an intimate relationship with someone who just had a violent temper. And it's always, oh, it'll never happen to me, but it does. And so he warns us here, it's don't go with them. You could learn their ways. Some of this stuff begins to feel normal to you. And so watch out for it, that people of temper. Elsewhere in Proverbs, it's written that the angry person is like a city with their walls broken down. And in those days, the walls around the city were their protection. They were that which kept them from enemy forces, at least up to a point. And so a city with walls broken down was defenseless. And he's saying your anger can do that to you. So watch out for people who are angry, who have this temper problem. And then a final thing that I'm going to point out here, Watch out for people who are just excessive. The contemporary word probably would be addictive. But in chapter 23, one of these places he speaks to this, 23:19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. So there's a lot of addictive kinds of behaviors, but he just mentions three here: overdrinking, overeating, oversleeping, laziness. And it could be any number of things. Maybe you're a workaholic, or maybe you're recreationaholic, or there's all kinds of addictive types of behaviors. And Solomon's just saying, watch out for people who just don't know a balance in their lives. It's going to lead you off in a bad direction. It's going to bring you to a place of ruin if you're not careful. And so a few things here that he mentions that he warns his son against. Watch out for people who are unprincipled, materialistic, dishonest, immoral, reckless, those who are angry, those who have addictive types of personalities. Again, you're going to come in contact with these people, and hopefully we're able to share something of the goodness of God. But those that we let into our inner circle that really have the opportunity to influence, he says, be really careful. Now, a little bit about the positive companion. And there's less written about this, but it's important, very, very crucial. We'll start with look for a loyal person. A person, not blind loyalty, we'll talk about this, not someone that just lets us skate, but someone who is loyal. In chapter 17 and verse 17. Solomon writes, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times, not fickle. You know, we played the game as kids, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. I'm going to take my ball and go home. Well, some people never outgrow that. Honestly, they do not outgrow that. And so we want people that are loyal. Like, again, they're not going to let us skate, but their friendship and their love for us does not waver because we've stepped out of line. Loyalty, a great trait. Again, over in chapter 18 and verse 24, he speaks to this. Chapter 18, 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's the kind of people that we're looking for. Loyalty is one thing, but honesty is another. We want people that are honest with us. When they are honest, they will do so out of a heart of love. But in chapter 27, verses 5 and 6, it says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Verse 9 of the same chapter, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Now, you hear me talking about the importance of accountability. Every one of us needs someone who will speak truth into our lives. They're going to do so because they love us, not because they're trying to put us down. But when they see things that need to be corrected, they're not afraid to bring them up. They will talk to us about those things, and we need that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Honesty is something. We want people who are respectful of us, who are respectful. Chapter 27, verse 14. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. That's kind of a humorous one. So you've got your windows open because the night is cool. You're enjoying the fresh air. And in the peak of summer, it starts getting light at 4:30, and you've got a friend who likes to go for those early walks, but you're not quite yet awake. And they're outside their house saying, "Hey, I love what you've done with the place. Your lawn looks great. Boy, your landscaping is fantastic." And it wakes you up. It's not a blessing anymore. It's more of a cursing. There's just a respect that needs to be there. Our friends need to be respectful. They don't borrow stuff and not return it. They respect your space. They respect your time. We need people who are respectful. And then we want people in our lives that motivate us, that inspire us, that will challenge us. This is a pretty familiar verse, chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. One woman sharpens another. We don't need people that let us just stagnate. We want people who encourage us to grow and mature and develop and become what God has called us to be. And so we want people that will be honest enough and will motivate us and spur us on to, well, as it says in the New Testament, to love and good works. People that will encourage us and inspire us in that way. And so we see these kinds of things emerge from Proverbs as well. Loyalty, honesty, respect, and motivation. It's the profile of a positive companion. Now, as we reflect on this, the way I present it is, here's people you need to avoid, here's people that you need to bring in. But as we reflect on this, there's something essential. We need to look inward first. We need to ask ourselves, does my character make me a good companion? Which list would you find yourself more traits in which list? This is the first question. We need to say, am I being that kind of people that Solomon would say, this is the kind of person you need to seek for a friend? Does my character make me a good companion? And then we need to be asking the question, am I spending time with the right kinds of people? It's going to make a huge difference in our lives. The crazy Eddies aside, there are people that will have more of an impact even than crazy Eddie in our lives. And so think about that. As I said at the beginning, the importance of our associations cannot be overstated. It just cannot be. It's incredibly important. George Washington once said, "Associate yourself with men of quality if you esteem your own reputation, for 'tis better to be alone than in bad company." And that's true. But friendship is one of the great gifts that God has given to us. And there's an old Turkish proverb that said, "No road is long with good company." And I'm so thankful that God has allowed me, and He's given to you the opportunity as well to walk the road of life with good company. And I am incredibly grateful that we have as our example the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the best friend, and He has set the perfect example as He's given Himself and gives Himself for us. You know, if we look to Him, He's the one that will help us be the best friend, and He will help us pick the best friends. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You so much for, again, the perfect example that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as it says in Philippians, though He was God, did not consider that equality, that place there to be clung to, but took upon himself the form of a servant to give himself for us. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the example. And Lord, I thank you for good friends. And I thank you that you allow us to walk the journey of life with people who will help us along the way. And so, whatever you would choose to do with this time, Lord, help us just to be more like Christ. And may that be our pursuit every single day. And I pray this in his precious name. Amen.